A new centre of fashion has recently opened at Sydney's Powerhouse Museum, and its inaugural exhibition features the lifetime work of Australian designer Colette Dinigan. The new centre's part of a trend in Australian museums and art galleries to feature and promote fashion more heavily in recent years. These shows often draw in huge crowds and create quite a media buzz. But what's driving this trend? And is fashion an art form? Roger Leong is Senior Curator at the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences, which is the umbrella organisation for the Powerhouse Museum, and he's been one of the driving forces behind the Centre for Fashion. Roger, welcome.
Thank you, Sian.
And Sally Gray is a fashion scholar, a curator and a visual artist. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Sian.
So, Roger, if I can start with you, why do you think we need a dedicated centre for fashion in an Australian museum?
I think the reason why we need at our museum a dedicated centre is because we're initiating a lot more activity around one of our key collecting areas, fashion, and we want to incorporate more partners.
But why fashion?
Oh, why fashion?
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, look, fashion is one of the key creative industries in this country, in the world. It's a subject that everybody has an opinion about. It's perhaps one of the most accessible forms of design and creativity, and it's just a great area to target.
So your opening exhibition is on local designer Colette Dinigan. What's actually on display? What would audiences see if they came to visit?
Well, it's an exhibition of about 85 objects, mostly gowns designed by Colette Dinigan, but it's also much more than that. It's a very creatively designed exhibition, designed in collaboration with Colette Dinigan and Anna Treglone, the theatre designer and visual artist, in collaboration with our curator Glynis Jones and the MAS team. And it's quite an immersive exhibition. When you walk in, you're faced with this 30-metre-long multimedia presentation of 25 years of Colette's creations, filmed and projected on the wall, featuring 10 models, but multiplied. And then the works are presented in a number of different themes, starting with lingerie, going forward, Colette's various sort of textural themes.
Yes,
yeah, so
you might need to describe Colette's work, because I don't assume everybody knows it very well.
Colette Dinigan is known primarily for her lingerie-inspired design. She's one of the key drivers of the underwear as outerwear trend of the 1990s.
The inside-out trend.
Absolutely, absolutely. And she uses a lot of lace and embroidery and beading and sequining and so forth. So she really designs. Her forte are those sort of after five gowns that you see celebrities wearing at first nights and at awards ceremonies and things like that.
Mm.
So it's a very luxe sort of aesthetic, but a very sort of rich use of fabric and texture.
Very traditionally feminine in some ways, isn't it?
Yes and no. It's hard to describe entirely, but when you see the work, you'll see how innovative she really is. Like she might use lace in one garment, but it'll actually be laminated lace, or there might be a really interesting lace design in one of her works. But if you look closely, you'll see that it's based on tattooing.
Mm. Well, Sally Gray, if we can bring you in, it seems to me that museums have always exhibited clothes. I mean, even tiny local regional museums have their dusty soldiers' uniforms and their ladies' whalebone corsetry. What's different about the way museums and art galleries are viewing this material these days?
Well, I guess the main thing is a sort of segue from an interest in dress as historical artefact, standing in for time and historical event, and fashion. And fashion being more about the contemporary ideas of the contemporary, ideas of ephemerality, and an engagement with sort of creativity in time, in our time, as opposed to dress representing something from the past or being an artefact that represents some kind of historical story. Mm.
And why has that change taken a while? I mean, why has it really... It feels like it's only been in recent decades that fashion's truly entering the sort of hallowed halls of the art world.
I think it's complex. Part of it is a general kind of democratisation of museums since the 1970s and 80s and the idea of so-called new museology, where museums came down off their pedestals and attempted to speak to broader audiences and saw their remit as including a kind of democratic communication with, you know, broad publics. There's that. And I think also in the conditions of postmodernity, there's less hierarchical thinking about what aspects of visual culture are suitable for display in an art museum.
So there's no longer different tribes of, you know, people into high art and people into popular culture. It's all melding these days, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, there'll always be gatekeepers. There'll always be people who take it upon themselves to declare what is art and what is not art and all that kind of thing. But in terms of publics, people are just fascinated by fashion for a whole range of reasons. One, because it's totally accessible. You know, everybody wears clothes. Fashion itself is very accessible to broad publics through social media, through the fact that Paris collections are available immediately on, you know, moving image on social media. People are across fashion as a domain of visual culture and across it as an aspect of contemporary existence. So there are all kinds of levels at which people feel able to and permitted to enter into a personal relationship with fashion in museums.
Mm. So I think accessibility is such an interesting thing there, isn't it? Mm. Roger Leong, you've come to the Powerhouse from the National Gallery of Australia in Melbourne, where you were responsible for curating a number of exhibitions on fashion.
Yes.
Did you, without naming names, have you encountered this kind of gatekeeping attitude that Sally talks about of people interested in, I guess, the more traditional forms of art of being a little bit sniffy about fashion coming in?
The short answer is yes, I have. look, I accept that because we're dealing in an industry which is about longevity. So curators, if anything, are very patient people. So we work within the boundaries that we're given. And sometimes that we break out of those boundaries, so, you know, I have no problem with that.
I wonder, too, how much of it is to do with the fact that, as we mentioned, people come in droves to see these fashion exhibitions because, precisely, as Sally said, they are accessible. And so, you know, if it's bums on seats or if it's, you know, money for entrance fees, presumably galleries and museums are increasingly interested in those things.
Yeah, look, I think popularity is certainly an important part of the fashion phenomenon. But I think what Sally was talking about before is that fashion is such an embedded part of our visual culture today. Not even the visual culture, but just culture in generally speaking. And even if people don't aspire to buy designer clothes, everybody in some way is a critic, a fashion critic, because fashion is just embedded in the way of life today, and for good or for bad.
The other thing is that with the advent of fashion scholarship or the deepening of fashion scholarship in universities, there are all kinds of levels at which people can enter the domain of fashion as a critical domain. So audiences for fashion exhibitions are coming in at all sorts of levels, and fashion exhibitions increasingly are part of the discourse of fashion scholarship. That is, fashion exhibitions are making propositions about what fashion is and what sort of creative domain it is, what kinds of meanings it does it create. So there's a kind of criticality in fashion scholarship that is increasingly finding its way into fashion exhibitions. And that's, I think, an incredibly interesting thing for people. an increasingly interesting thing.
You're talking about, you know, for example, that coming up in the signage and people learning more about the art and the history of fashion because they're seeing it in a context where they're being given interesting scholarly explanations in these exhibitions.
Yeah, and interesting propositions about gender and sexuality which are available to people through fashion exhibitions, like, for example, recent exhibitions, say, for example, at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York on queer fashion, or an exhibition at the LA County Museum, which is coming to Sydney, called Reigning Men, about men and fashion. So
so it's not just about big names, is it? It's
not
just, you know, Jean-Paul Gaultier or Alexander McQueen. It's broader than that.
Yeah, and deeper. That is, fashion is accessible to critical inquiry against sort of current perceptions about, you know, the critiques of fashion exhibitions are often that it's dumbing down the museum.
But Roger, are fashion exhibitions edging out other possible, you know, exhibitions of more traditional art forms? I mean, do the gatekeepers have a right to feel a bit miffed that their territory is being reduced or encroached upon?
Well, that's a difficult one to answer, but I think that there's room for everybody in this. It's a big room. The museum industry is a big industry these days. The culture industry is huge. So there's room for everything, and I think it's very healthy that we're looking more critically at all disciplines, not just fashion. But the other thing, picking up on Sally's point about sort of looking at fashion in a much more critical way, we've been quite pleasantly surprised at the reaction to some of the programs that we've been having at the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences. We recently had a program on men and fashion. So it's not just about exhibitions, it's about forums and talks and seminars and so forth. And we virtually sold out that seminar for men and fashion. We had a talk recently about creative collaboration between Jenny Key and Linda Jackson, and Romance Was Born, and that was also sold out recently. So people are hungry for the ideas and the behind fashion, as well as just looking at the kind of the sensual pleasure of looking.
And you never know, maybe it's, you know, a wonderful Trojan horse to actually get people into these institutions who otherwise wouldn't feel like it's necessarily their space. Thank you so much to both of you. Roger Leong is a senior curator at the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences, and Sally Gray is a fashion scholar, a curator and a visual artist. And we'll have details of the Powerhouse exhibit on the Blueprint for Living program page if you're interested.